one time to trash. Only have the trash thing.
You guys got routed.
Your agenda. Boom, boom, boom.
Time is now 7 o'clock. We call this regular meeting to order with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence for our military.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Councilor
Here.
Councilor
Here.
Councilor
Here.
May.
Here.
Councilor
Present.
Councilor
Present.
Councilor
Present. All accounted for. Item 4, special presentations. At this time, I'd like to call Pat McCormick up.
Talk directly into the mic.
Nice and loud.
Thank you very much for having us tonight. I'm Patrick McCormick, and I'm the Director of Health of the Youngest Health District, so it's nice to see everyone. I'm really here just to do an introduction, so Chairman McNally had reached out and asked if we could give a presentation to talk about some of the substance use issues that are existing in the area and some of the work that's being done to address it. I have folks from, actually, I have my colleague, Jen Ruggio, from the Wedgeye Health District, who's done a lot of work to bring in grants into the region and has been kind enough to partner with Uncas Health District on some of the work. So I am actually going to turn it over to Jen and just thank her very much for partnering with us to bring COVID into the region.
Thanks, Patrick.
Sure.
Thanks for having us, everyone. Jen Maggio, Director of Health with Wedgeye Health District. So we're Uncas's counterpart in the southern tier of the county, but we're really honored to work in collaboration with Uncas on many different projects to bring additional resources to our region, and that includes our coordinated response to the overdose epidemic. So for many years, both Uncas and Wedgeye have been tracking the data related to overdose and looking to see how we can coordinate response and efforts across not only the health districts, but in collaboration with many different community partners, and most specifically Alliance for Living. And so in 2017, we formed and received funding for what we call NLC CARES, New London County Coordinated Access, Resources, Engagement, and Support. And that's a multifaceted project that really aims at making it easy for people to access the information, support, and resources that can help them achieve their individual health goals. And that includes increasing access to evidence-based treatment for opioid use disorder. It includes saturating our communities with naloxone. It includes building community capacity, both among community service providers and among the general public, just in terms of how to recognize and respond to an overdose, how to talk with people in your life that you might be worried about, and really grounding all of that work in harm reduction and in reducing stigma and discrimination, which is leading to deaths in our communities. And so I'm going to take a step back here and turn it over to the team that does the centerpiece of the individual support work, and that's our community-based navigators. And really honored to be here with Shannon, who heads up that team, and Trish and Donnie, who have been members of the team since the beginning of the program. They're going to just take a couple minutes, tell you about their day-to-day work, and particularly the fact that we have been supporting people here in Montville for many years now, and then we'd love to answer any questions you have.
Hello, my name is Shannon Santini. I am the director of NLC CARES. Like Jen said, our approach is very simple. It's meeting people who use drugs where they are, removing stigma, and providing participant-centered resources. And this is all done with peer navigators. All navigators have lived experience, and it's focused on whatever the participant expresses in the moment. So it may not be substance use in that moment. It may be housing. It may be other barriers. But Donnie and Trish have been leading the efforts on our harm reduction approach. So I'm going to turn it over to the team to explain what that looks like when you are working with a participant.
Hi, my name is Trish Rios. I'm the lead navigator for the Alliance for Living. I've been
So I haven't used drugs in 14 years. And that has given me the ability to build relationships. It's a gift. I talk a different language, and I'm able to engage with people. And I've been in Montville since day one. Some of the engagements have been in London. They're Montville residents. But I've been in Montville at Dunkin' Donuts, getting the coffee, and running into people who I still work with today 4 or 5 years ago. I think it's important that we bring our experience to let people know that we're here to support them. We want to see people live. People are dying, and they don't need to die, breaking the stigma. And when we build a relationship with people, at that moment, they may say, Trish, I'm ready right now, so let's go. And we try to, whatever they want to do, they want to be a detox, they want to be on medication, if they just want a therapist, like that's, we aim to please, right? We want to get them to be comfortable. We can't force anybody to stop using. We have to stop thinking that we have to force people. Our work shows that supporting people is keeping people alive, right? Like supporting people and showing them that we're going to support them. So if I work with somebody and they stop using, they do really well, they're thriving, whatever they want to do, those relationships are continuous. Like, we don't stop working with people. Our day looks different every day. Some people are homeless. I come out here, I have 4 families right now that are homeless in Montville, living in their car with their kids. I think it's really important that we talk about, like, what is going on everywhere, not just in Montville, but everywhere. So we're here, we're going to be here. I think it's important that you guys know we're here. And I hope to keep building relationships here.
Thank you, Trish. I am Dottie, and thank you guys for having us here. I am Dottie, I'm 100 Navigators that's actually out here working with the participants that's filled with substance use disorder. So being hands-on with them, I have the access to transport them and get them to the resources that they need at that moment. So it's very important that, you know, just having a relationship, building a rapport, having the conversations on the daily, making us accessible to them, which, you know, they have the opportunity to really speak on what's on their mind. I have lived experiences today. I'm a little over 18 years without, you know, with my disease being in remission, which is a blessing, but it gives me the opportunity to be real familiar with what's going on out there in the community. So I am one of those people that they get to come to, talk to, and be free with. The stigma plays a big part with a lot of things when it comes to this substance use disorder. So I just want to make sure that I'm accessible to the members of the community and have that conversation. So when they're ready, I need to be in that window, make sure they have access to, you know, evidence-based treatment. I make the transportations, I make the phone calls, whatever is, you know, pressing their spirit, I just want to make sure they have an opportunity to be on track and they need to be on. Does this track always be successful? No, it doesn't. But it gives us the opportunity. Open the door and make sure that we're always there in their presence so they can always have somebody to come to and talk to when things are dead and they go forward. So, you know, we also work on the outreach vehicle, which deals with primary care physicians on that vehicle, so as instant access. So this way they can always be serviced with wound care and other situations that they come upon. Doing transportation part, we're getting IDs, insurances, getting connected to services, cell phones. You know, the phone is a hard thing to deal with when you're in substance use disorder, but we try to make sure that there's always some type of connection to them. It becomes very important out here. So I'm just grateful to anybody for you guys to give us the opportunity to do what we do out here. And even for myself, I had the opportunity to use these agencies. Today, I'm a homeowner, a taxpayer. I was 27 years into the disease of addiction. And I'm 18 years without it, due to the fact that all the services that we all provide, this thing is possible. And I just want to let them know that anything is possible. We need any service.
Just to wrap up here before we ask if there's any questions, I just want to make sure everybody knows that the Navigators are available to answer additional questions, support family members, hand out naloxone strips, or connect with you to talk about your individual health goals, and you can reach
by calling or texting 860-333-3494. It's not an emergency number, but please leave a message if you don't get us, and we'll get back to you within 24 hours. Any questions for us?
So I just had one, is how do you guys get your word and information out to help the community? Because until talking to Trish, I didn't even know you guys were actually operating in town. Do you partner with fire departments, police departments, schools, or anything like that? Or
There's always opportunity to increase those partnerships, and we'd love to get your ideas on how we could do a better job at increasing awareness in the town of Montville. So please send those slots our way. Of course, the relationship that we have, a partnership working with UNCUS is important. For increasing word here, and also, it's important that we recognize everybody may not want to engage with an navigator. Also, all substance use is not disordered, but there may be services, harm reduction services, and supports we can offer to people who are either not ready for treatment or for whom treatment's not appropriate. And many of those services are offered through public health insurance, public health nurses, and so. The partnership, the breadth, the range of services is very, very broad. And absolutely, send your thoughts on getting the word out in a more effective way our way.
So, kind of a follow-up of that, what are other communities, similar to ours, how are they getting the word out? Maybe they're doing something that we could tie on to or try to achieve. I was just wondering, is there a community that's really active in getting things out from, let's say, municipal level?
Yeah, and I think different municipalities have taken different approaches. We really appreciate on New London, for example, our partnership with the New London Fire Department in that they carry little pocket-sized cards that have the NLC Cares phone number and website on it, and they can discreetly hand that card to somebody on the scene. We would stay away from an approach that involves a more overt response to hanging a door knocker, a door card on somebody's doorknob when there's been an overdose in the house, because it's visible, right? And especially for someone who lives in an apartment complex, that's not something we want publicized to all of their neighbors. That does not help us build trust with the people that we're trying to serve. So we want to find those opportunities that work best for each community, while recognizing our values and our program is grounded in the lead of the community members we serve and what feels safe and comfortable for them. There's some nuances to deciding on those strategies. Does that make sense?
Do you guys have a physical office location?
So a lot of times, the staff are at Alliance for Living office in New London, but they're really there to hang their hat. We have several mobile vans. UNCUS Health District has a van, so we don't spend a lot of time sitting in an office anywhere. We're really out in the community, and that's where those community-based approaches and that community awareness is really important. If people have thoughts of places where it would be important for our team to just spend some time, because we're likely to engage with community members at this park or in the library at these certain hours or something like that. We really appreciate those insights because they will guide our outreach efforts.
I would just say that what we found within our own office is we can identify somebody in the community. So if we're at one of our mobile health hubs, we're doing outreach with the band. If we make that connection, then we can make that referral too. So it doesn't just mean that these folks have to make that direct connection, but maybe we make the connection and then we make the referral. So that's been a great partnership too. So the staff actually came to our office to educate our staff on how we could make better referrals, what was available to us, what we could hand out. So I give them credit, because not only do they go out and deal with the public, but they've actually educated different agencies in the community as to how they can use these services better.
We work close, so we spent a lot of time, we make presentations to the courts, the public defender's office, different service providers, different medical providers, so that those places where people are having other points of contact know about the navigators and are able to share our contact information with people they're serving.
Thanks.
I'd just like to add, you know, with that society with such a disorder, they have a tendency of talking among themselves. You know what I mean? So that information gets out, and it gets out fast. It's very important that we stay healthy in the community and be accessible to them at any time. You know? So we've been going on for like 5 years now, and the reputation has been built. So they say, listen, you need help, go find Trish and Donnie. How it happens, so we don't have to go looking for people, they actually find us. And you know what I mean? And we always make sure we always assess the children, and that's what we came ready for. The reputation has been built and it's continued to build. We just need to support and make sure it keeps building because, you know, we deal with residential, not just people in the home, but we have residential, we deal with people at their job, and I go to their job at lunchtime, medical abuse treatment service, whatever it takes. For them to be successful for a day, we want to make sure we provide that success.
And we're also partnering with Yale University on two research projects that are aimed at looking at different treatment modalities and also ways of delivering treatment for people leaving carceral settings. And so the integration with DOC through those research projects has opened up some connections with people who are returning to our area, either from one of the local prisons or from somewhere else, but coming back to the state. Whether they enroll in the research project or not, if they're identified through the DOC system as having opioid use disorder, they're given the information about the study, and then if DOC knows that they're coming back to Lincoln County, they're given the information of contacting us.
They also, our goal is to educate the community and family members. So most of the time I have the navigator line. A lot of the participants end up, our number gets passed from participant to family members. So maybe the mom, dad, aunt, loved one. So we're not also just for people who use substances. We're for the community as a whole. Like I had a call this week, how do you use Narcan, right? And I have a family, like family support. I can't do it all, but I will show you, I'll give you the best that I can and tell you where else to go find more support. But we want to be available to everybody, just not people who use substances. I think that's like kind of just shooting with what we do. Like we are for the community.
So first of all, I'd really like to thank all of you for all you do. It's in our community, a small community, it goes a long way. Coming from a family who has lost, like my nephew 2 years ago, we need more teams like you. We need more people like you who care out there in the community. Because some people put a blind eye to it and don't want to deal with it. But we have to deal with it because it's real. And I want to thank every one of you for standing up here tonight and standing in our community and all the communities and helping.
It's heartbreaking to us that we have to continue to do this work, but it's our honor to do it in service of our community.
I also want to thank you for coming here and giving us this information. An important part of your job, as you just pointed out, is educating the community. I couldn't agree with you more. I also have lost loved ones from it. And we need to do everything we can do to get the word out and to educate not just the ones that are abusing, but the family themselves. I agree. Thank you.
Anyone else? I want to thank you guys as well because I lost my two brothers to this. And everybody speaking up here, it's rampant throughout every family around here. Somebody has it. And guess what? Like the panel said that just reaching out and finding out the communication gap and closing it and working on it is invaluable. I wish this was in operation when my brothers passed away. But thank you guys again.
Anyone else?
Yeah, if I may. again, I think I'll echo the comments of everybody here and say, you know, obviously you're doing the Lord's work here. But, Jen, you brought up something at the Council of Governments meeting. I don't know if it was last month or the month before, where you have some, for lack of a better term, kind of grab-and-go Naxalone boxes or resources where people can go get something because
it's sometimes, unfortunately, unaffordable for families who need to have it in their home in case of that emergency because they have the loved one that they know, they just know it's going to happen. Can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Sure. I wish I had brought my... So we were able to use some of our grant funding to purchase a number of 24/7 naloxone distribution boxes. These are weatherproof boxes. They're about this big, really easy to open. We don't want to put any kind of, you know, you have to register or have a vendor code or anything like that on them. There is a QR code on the front you can scan. It takes you to our website to watch a quick training offered in English or Spanish on how to recognize it and respond to an overdose. And we do keep them stocked with naloxone kits, fentanyl test strips, and cards to let people know how to reach out to us for more information. Saturating our community with naloxone is one of the absolute priority things that we need to do. I read a study that said, you know, if we really want to see the numbers start to change, we need to have one naloxone kit in the hands of every 100 people in the community, and we're nowhere near that number. So this is a way, we've been handing out naloxone kits forever. This is another way to make them a little bit more accessible for people who, you know, are working third shift and aren't able to come to the health department or engage at one of the mobile health hubs and get a kit, or just feel so much still internalized shame and stigma that they're hesitant to have a conversation with somebody. They just want to go somewhere and get a kit. And so we were able to use some of that grant funding to buy some boxes for UNCUS to put in the UNCUS service region. And I'm sure Patrick would love to talk with you about thoughts on where one might be able to be mounted in Montville. They can go on the side of the building, they can go on the signpost. We have one strapped to our apple tree in the front yard of the health district. There's one inside a grocery store in London. So, you know, lots of, it's flexible, it's easy to mount, and, you know, leave it to each community to think about where the most appropriate place would be. I think when you think about this, you want it to be somewhere that isn't obvious, right? So if it's going to be on the side of a firehouse or something like that, you want it around on the side where people don't feel like they're being watched. There's one on the library in Groton. I think that's a great location because if somebody sees you in the library parking lot, you could just as easily be dropping off a book in the book return as you could be getting a naloxone kit, right? The one at the health department in London is near our community garden. So somebody drives by and sees you, see you on our front lawn. Maybe you're picking a tomato. Maybe you're getting a naloxone kit. It's not obvious. And that's because I think the people who are accessing these are people who feel so much shame and hesitation to engage with somebody. I think that's a really important consideration. So I just invite you to give some thought and connect with Patrick about where one might go in Montville. But I found they arrived. I promise them. I don't know what happened. They got the lady and Jimmy, but they're here.
Unless you have any more questions? All right, thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Right. Item 5, alterations to the agenda. I have 2 under 16C, new business, to remove numbers 8 and 14. It's actually only affecting 22 Bridge Street. The other two are going to be conveyed. And the other one is 16E, to add the date of December 12th, 2023. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any other alterations?
I just want to, as I discussed with the chairman, Tyler Lawton will be here later on this evening. He's at work right now. Tyler Lawton is the Eagle Scout who is making the walking trail behind the PD. And he's going to report on the conclusion of that effort and that project tonight. And when he comes, we're just going to throw him into the agenda, kind of like last minute, just so everybody's aware of it. I'm sure you'll all be impressed at what he's got, impressed at what he has to say.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any alterations? Hearing none. Moving on. Is there a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes of September 11th, 2023?
Second.
Any second? Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Mm-hmm. About the special meeting minutes of September 27th, 2023.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Item 7, executive session. To consider an act on motion to enter into executive session for the purpose of interviewing candidates for the Montville Housing Authority. Discussions to include members of the town council and Mayor Ron McDaniel.
So moved.
Motion made. Second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We're in executive session at 7:25. Okay, we are out of executive session at 7:39. No votes were taken. At this point, we'll go to remarks from the public with a three-minute limit on anything that's on the agenda. Anyone from the public wishing to speak on items on the agenda? Anyone from the public wishing to speak to items on the agenda? Last call from the public. Hearing none, we are moving on. Item 9, communications. You got a copy in there of your financial director's report. Legal bills from Halligan & Sage and Schussman Shapiro, and I also got another one tonight from the Connecticut, visit of Eastern Connecticut, that we need someone on their board of directors. So if you know anybody that's looking to volunteer their time.
What is it again, sorry, Chairman?
Connecticut visits, which is for Eastern Connecticut.
Tourism District.
All right, thank you. All right, anybody have any other correspondence? Hearing none. Item 10, reports from the town attorney on matters referred. Mr. Mayor?
Nothing pending.
Sure. And 11, reports from the mayor and our department heads. Mr. Mayor.
So we've had a few meetings on the Cook Hill water tank. The all the paperwork seems to be signed in order at this point. So the design is done. The contract has been awarded. Signage should be going up soon, and site work will begin after that. I met with Bob Santi, who was a consultant for the land use department for economic development matters. I think he was going to consult a few people here on the dais, as well as I think Bill Pini has, who's in the house today. Met with the fire chiefs in the union and dispatch to settle some issues before the 10-1 start date, which has been implemented. There's been a couple of hiccups so far. It's only 11 days in, so we're working through a couple of road speed bumps, I'll call them, not roadblocks. We had a swearing in of our final and full complement of officers. Officer D. Simone, who's a lateral, was sworn in on October 2nd. And with minimal training, he'll be on the road on his own very shortly. Went to St. Bernard's for the joint press event on the purchase and acquisition of the property by the tribe and the deal with the diocese to continue the presence of St. Bernard's there for the next 20 years. We'll probably see some more on that next month as far as some issues related to that. And nice event, the night of the WPCA meeting, which I had to kind of miss because we had the Girl Scouts here for Democracy Night. And let me tell you, God bless those troop leaders with 8 or 9-year-old girls, a whole gaggle of them. That was an interesting couple of hours, and they had a blast. I had a blast. I'm going to miss doing those kinds of things. And finally, next week, on Tuesday, I will be testifying along with the Mayor Fred Allen from Ledyard regarding the working group to examine the taxation of federally recognized tribal nations on the personal property tax issues that they squeezed into the appropriations bill on us at the last minute last year, last session. And the effects of that, and I'm going to be quite blunt with them, frankly, so you might get a little complaint about me. And that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
That's great. Anybody have any questions for the mayor? All right, department heads. Come one, come all.
3 minutes.
Yeah. She does the finance. Good evening, counselors. I'm going to be trying to be as quick as possible. First, I'm going to go over what's going on with planning and zoning. At the last meeting, the commission approved a 6-lot subdivision on the Old Colchester Road right across from McDonald Drive for 6 new house lots.
On their agenda for October, we have a one-lot re-subdivision at 958 Route 163 for one new house. We also have a public hearing, that's a public hearing application. We also have a public hearing to extend the moratorium on cannabis establishments. The commission has lost two members. We have new members coming on. We need more time to look at cannabis regulations, which I did send to all of you what we have so far. And so we are looking to extend it for another 6 months until April. And that'll give the commission more time to look at these regulations. And you as well, if you have any comments or questions, please forward them to me for when we do start looking at regulations. The other thing we have on our agenda is 125 Depot Road, which is the gateway terminal. There is a marine materials management transloading facility proposed. It's a manufacturing use. The owner of the company takes dredged materials. They mix it with concrete and other materials, and then it's trucked off the site to be used for residential fill. It's a demonstration permit that was issued by the DEHP. They're only allowed to do certain amounts. Basically, they're showing you that this works. So they're trying to find a way to recycle this dredged material and have it be used for something good other than trucking it off to a landfill and be capped. So that was on the agenda last month, and it's continued to this month because staff hadn't had time review the application and the plans, and we're still waiting for Deep Coastal and Deep Solid Waste to comment. We need to make sure that what was approved by Deep Solid Waste is what was submitted to us. So we are still waiting to hear from those two state agencies. The other thing on our agenda, we have a two-lot subdivision on 145 Moxley Road. We also have a site plan application for the animal control facility. So as you know, the work being done by Silver Petrogelli to design it includes all the documents to get it to site plan approval. So this will go to the Planning and Zoning Commission for site plan approval to make sure that the plan complies with all of our regulations. If it's approved, it doesn't have to be built. You have 5 years to complete a site plan with an additional extension of another 5 years. But this gets it through the process and shows that the plan that they're going to put an RFP out for the work for complies with our regulations, so there's no surprises at that time. So that's what's on our P&Z agenda coming up for October. Does anyone have any questions about that?
I got a question. Going back to Gateway, what kind of material are they going to be mixing with the dredging to experiment with this?
It's a cement, and I can forward all of you copy of the application with that lays out what it's mixed with. I'm not a scientist. I can't tell you exactly what it is, but it's a cement material.
Okay. So yeah. What kind of quantity are they going to be dealing with as far as dredging?
I don't know. I can go get my staff report. Okay. But it's limited to so many cubic yards a month and so many cubic yards total. I think it's 250 cubic yards of this material total for the project, and the permit expires in January, so one of the things that I asked them to do is it can be extended by the DEEP commissioner. So one of the questions in my staff report is, the dredging season is from October 1st through January or February. So they can't do it after that. So this is like about a 6 month operation, and their permit is good till January of 2024 unless it's extended by the commissioner of DEEP. So again, I think it's 250 cubic yards a day, but I know it's about 250,000 cubic yards total for this project.
I am kind of familiar with this because we did dredging on the Thames River, and that's used for dewatering. And if you have a contaminant in the soil, will there be any contaminated dredging, meaning that would have any metals in it that would leach out? So usually use the cement to lock it up so it doesn't drain all over the place. It really binds it up into that median. So what are the, and that does make it safe for like transport and disposal, but what is the criteria, or what is the stuff that's going to be dredged and put in there? Because I'm very concerned about that, where it's coming from. Because
apparently the dredge material is coming from Connecticut. It's expensive to transport it, so they're trying to find a spot in Connecticut that they can bring this to and do this operation. The applicant proposes that no hazardous material will be brought onto the site. All the material will be tested on the barge before it's brought in. If it tests hazardous, it won't be brought in. Now, I asked questions about that in my staff report as well. What happens if it gets there and it's found to be unsuitable? What then? The other thing that I asked for in my staff report, and which was supposed to be submitted as a permit, is their odor control plan. There may be some odor if there's shellfish in the material. And so I asked the question, how will that be controlled? And so we're really at the beginning stages of this application right now. They may not get a full, if they get approval, they may not get a full season in at this point.
Is it going to be stored on site for a number of days, or is it stored in, or processed and moved on somewhere else?
No, they propose not to store any on site. And I asked them, how is that going to happen? What if you can't transport it off site? Because they propose that there won't be any trucking at any peak hours of the salt facility. So that there's not any increased traffic off the site. And they said it's all a matter of logistics, right? So they know when they can truck it out. They bring it in, they do it, and they take it off site. There's a site in Griswold that's going to be the receiving site for this. It's an old mill that's being remediated, and the material from this site is going to be received by this Griswold site. So it'll be trucked off of here, taken up to Griswold on 395. And I can certainly, you can go right online, all our meeting materials are posted online. You're just going to need to click on planning and zoning. Meeting materials come up, and the plan's there, our comments are there, everything's right there, and you can review it.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions?
Quick other couple things. Dakota Partners, we both closed on the grant funding, and we're completing the final state required CHRO paperwork. And they estimate that work to be done August 2024. First fishing pier work RFP went out, and it's for geotechnical and structural engineering. The contract was awarded to Race Engineering. He had four bids ranging in size from $55,575, which was Race, to $165,500, which was Pear, and $89,500 and $119,950 in between. So Race Engineering was recommended by our town engineer that this RFP, this proposal be granted to them, and we're working on more notification right now. Hopefully that work will get started right away. Race said that they can start almost immediately. So that's done. quick thing I want to sort of bring to everybody's attention is, and I won't get into any long explanation of this, but when I look at your agenda, oftentimes I see things on your agenda for resolutions that should have gone to the Planning and Zoning Commission first for an 824 referral. Now, I sent you guys all out on August 2nd an email, and I outlined what an 824 referral is. And an 824 referral is under Title 8, which is the Connecticut General Statutes that govern planning, zoning, and economic development. And under 824, for planning commissions, which we have a combined planning and zoning commission, so it, in their planning commission capacity, they review projects, municipal projects. And this is how they define it. No municipal agency shall, number one, locate, accept, abandon, widen, narrow, extending a street, bridge, parkway, or other public way. Number two, relocate, substantially improve, acquire land for, abandon, sell, or lease any airport, park, playground, school, or other municipally owned property or public building. And then it goes on to talk about urban renewal projects and extending public utilities and so on and so forth. Now, some of the things that are on your agenda tonight should have gone to the Planning and Zoning Commission, mainly probably the improvements to the school to the tune of $15 million. I would say that's a substantial improvement. This can be added to our October agenda, but typically this is supposed to be done prior to the town council making resolutions. And the only time that you can make a resolution without hearing first from the Planning and Zoning Commission is if they don't respond within 35 days. That's taken to be an approval by lack of response. Now, this referral is advisory, so they're not approving it or denying it. They're just reviewing the proposal. They're forwarding the town council a report, a favorable report or an unfavorable report. If they forward an unfavorable report, this town council has to approve the project by a two-thirds vote, not merely in a majority. So there is some, there's some laws in place about voting on resolutions if the Planning and Zoning Commission gives an unfavorable report.
For that instance, to say it's a school modification or improvement, wouldn't that plan review be done in conjunction with the Board of Ed meeting at that time, then come to us? Or does it need to come after the Board of Ed makes their decision?
No, it may have to go to Board of Ed too, but what I'm saying is that substantial improvement to a municipal property has to go to the Planning Commission for review and report. So whatever other procedures have to be followed, this is separate and apart from that. So I'm just letting you know, certainly, we can add, but other things like the solar field, you did it after the fact, 824 referral, because it hadn't gotten sent to the Planning and Zoning Commission. So I guess what I want you to do is be aware when you're putting forth resolutions for appropriations for projects that it's gone before it's referred to the Planning and Zoning Commission for them to review it and send a report to you guys.
Is this something we can have a letter sent to department heads so that they're aware of this?
I've spoken to the DPW director because this is where I get the most, hey, you forgot, for town projects, but I certainly can send out something and remind everybody. But the councilors also should be aware when you're putting forth resolutions, hey, this project, hey, Liz, does this need an 824 referral? You know how to reach me all the time. So you can send me an email, you can call the office, either way.
So it's your opinion based on what you know of that laws and regulations that this should go to the Planning and Zoning Commission first before we act on it, or?
Well, it says locate, relocate, substantially improve, acquire land for, abandoned, sell, or lease an airport, park, playground, school, or other municipality, owned property, or public building. That's why we did 824s last year for the Fishing Pier project, we did it for the sale of Bridge Street, we did it for the Port Cove Trail, Tyler's Trail, because that was an improvement to town property, and the animal control facility we did last year as well. So those are major, substantial improvements to town property, so they all went to the Planning and Zoning Commission. If I'm not aware of it, though, I can't put it on the agenda. So that's all I want to just remind everybody of, is that, yes, the procedure is to go to Planning and Zoning first before you make a resolution for appropriation.
In this case tonight,
don't want to be the bad guy here.
Well, in this case tonight, we're in time sensitive because of the grant deadline at the end of the year. Can it work simultaneously as we're approving the resolution for the bond that you then send it over to you guys?
I can't say that's the right procedure.
We just did. We just did in a roundabout way.
I don't want to hold up a project either. That's not my intention.
Well, that's why I was saying that since it's a Board of Ed, they should have probably taken this on during their discussions. Then when it comes to us, it's already done. That's what I'm saying.
Somebody should have told.
Because we wouldn't know about this until it comes to us.
And I didn't know about it until I saw the agenda. So.
When is your meeting? Your next meeting?
October 24th. I get it.
Didn't you, something about a two-thirds vote can...
two-thirds vote.
If it's a negative review.
If it's a negative.
Unfavorable report is sent by the commission.
No, that's not how, there's no report. So if planning and zoning sent an unfavorable, we could override it with a two-thirds.
Correct.
That's. May I point out something, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
With regard to the landfill project, yeah, that got missed, and that, there was some issues with staff and what happened and that timing thing. With this particular project, it was known about before the agenda was published because I sent it before the agenda was published. Yeah. Secondly, the bond counsel opined in her email that this did not, in her opinion, require an 824 review, which is why I sent it to you to say I think it should have one regardless, just so there's transparency and there's no issues going forward if somebody chooses to challenge us down the road as to what is a substantial improvement. So I think it is her opinion, the bond counsel, that this was not a substantial improvement enough to warrant an 824 review. And I'm just pointing it out to the council so that they know that that was in an email from bond counsel.
And you did send an email. I just didn't know it was on this agenda. That's my fault. And you did say that the town attorney opined that it didn't need one, but you yourself felt it did. So,
but to err on the side of caution, yes.
I'm just trying to sort of stop this from happening in the future.
Well, for this current situation.
I'm not a lawyer, so if the lawyer says no, hey, you listen to the lawyer. I'm just giving you what
it is. She's the one who's got to defend her opinion. She's the one who's got to defend her opinion.
So to err on the side of caution, can you add this to your agenda for the next meeting?
Yeah, I will. And I've already spoken to one of the chairman of Wolves Pike, and we're going to add it to the October meeting agenda. And I did become aware of it after the last planning and zoning meeting, so we could not have added it until October.
So I couldn't get an argument with you tonight.
We've had substantial bond initiatives for the schools in general. Have those been looked at for 24 review certification? So we may want to look at that because we've.
I really don't know what goes on before that.
That's kind of why I brought that up in that capacity, just because I think that optics is not being utilized at this point, and we may need to inject that with some of their decision making early on. That's all I was thinking.
Yeah, I'm happy to meet with anybody.
Any more questions, comments?
Is this, would it be advantageous to have the commission meet yay or nay and then maybe have a special meeting?
Well, we don't have the time. I mean, we're going to.
Yeah. I mean, it's what, 2 weeks? I'm just trying to get avenues.
And you can go ahead and follow the town attorney's advice, and I'll do it after the back day 24.
I like that.
Yeah, I recommend
we're not that. One at all.
I mean, they're saying we don't need one. Let's do it anyhow as a precautionary. It'll just be 2 weeks after the fact.
And really, the purpose of that is the planning and zoning commission to take the solar, they had questions, right? So had they gotten the referral, and again, this is just a whole set of circumstances fell through the cracks. They had questions they wanted to ask, and they asked me to make sure going forward that we try to get better communication between the council and the planning and zoning as far as 824 referrals. The only other thing is, I just want to know that I'm appointed by the governor as of October 1st as the chairman of the Mobile Manufacturing Home Advisory Council for the state. And kind of a nice honor since I haven't been a member for very long and probably more work than I really needed to take on. But I just want to let you know that I am the chairman of that commission, and we're looking at public outreach to show that manufactured homes are not the trailers of old, and to maybe just rezoning their form to allow them on in different places. As more affordable value.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Good to hear.
Thanks, Liz.
All right, all set.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks, Liz.
And the department heads.
Hi, Martha Griffin from Chance Department. The only thing I'm going to comment on tonight is an update
on most of the projects, and there were several that were approved for funding. But when I had to look into it a little more, I found out that it's a two-tiered process to secure most of the funding, and it needs to be, in addition to approved by town council, the projects need to be in the SIP, the capital improvement plan, actually in the current year. So on the agenda tonight, there is the $400,000 issue she just raised about planning and zoning, if this is going forward. But that $400,000 for a building wasn't SIP, it wasn't included in town council. So tonight you approve that project can go forward. We can start looking into what is going to be involved with that. And I had a conversation with John today, because I noticed in last year's SIP that if it was the same project, and it looked as though it was, it just didn't move forward, it was for $350,000. It was the same project. This year it was in for $400,000. And I talked to John today about what he would do, because nothing has been done on this in terms of involving the town engineer. I mean, I can at least proceed with the paperwork after tonight if this board agrees to approve work with John on that. But I asked him if, given just the craziness of escalating costs of everything, if what he has in mind will not fit in within that 400, as we just saw that last week, that was a shock. He said he would go forward with the project scaled back to make it fit within the 400. So I guess he's going to work with the engineer and see what he can come up with. And just but that's just very preliminary work on that now. I will pull paperwork, post the paperwork, and so he and I will be going down two tracks. I'll be getting that paperwork. He'll be trying to get the engineer involved in it. That project will move along. The other ones, wanted to mention the two small ones that have been voted on, his Jarvis Park upgrade for $25,000. That would need to be in a SIP, but I want to make another comment about that. And then Camp Oakdale, large pavilion, there's some ARPA money, and then this additional is to supplement that project, and neither one of those can go forward this year. I want to mention a change in the way most of funding is going to be administered starting next year. Instead of the state accruing a town's money and kind of a pot that they keep track of up there, they're going to give towns their LOSIP money. And then you can use your LOSIP funds. Rather than being reimbursement grants, they'll give money. You put it into a LOSIP fund, you spend it, and then you report on what you spend it on. So next year, these small projects, since they are approved, they wouldn't have to be in the SIP next year because you could choose to spend lots of money on those. And by the way, I did write and ask, and I got the answer I expected. With the money that is accumulated for towns, that continues to stay with the state. Will follow the old rules where you have to apply for it, get your approval, do your project, and get reimbursed. And they've been sending out emails now, kind of reminder emails of how much you have, because I really do think they want to get away from keeping track of what you have, you know, kind of in their bank and going forward with just projects. Again, to reiterate, I did just get an email a couple of weeks ago, just over 1.2 million. Have available to spend now. On the two
big projects you have. I, for some reason, had it in my mind that the basketball court was in SIP, and I went back and looked and no, it wasn't. I think you were trying to get it in SIP to help yourself, and it just didn't get in there. So it was approved for LOSA, yes. And
I thought it was in in your proposed budget.
I don't recall if this.
It's $300,000, right?
Pretty sure. I'm prepared to discuss it if I had known this was a.
Pretty sure it was in the budget, though.
I thought all three items were part of capital improvements.
I know the basketball was. I can guarantee. I remember that because I got yelled at for cutting it. So I know that was in the proposed budget. So.
I think originally you wanted to try to fund it as a capital improvement project. And that got taken out. It didn't get left in just as a grant or other funding source. And I just went back to check today just to be sure. Peter has been doing some preliminary work on that. And it's kind of not really ready anyway. And he's probably going to have to regroup at SIP time, at budget time. Because you were looking at about 300 things he was looking at. The alternative that he was looking at was going to cost about 350. And he said that was going to be done in Woodhead. That's the preferred way to do it, which is similar to the way the tennis and pickleball courts were done. Concrete base. And then it would have this 20-year guarantee. So he'd like to do it if you can get the money, the additional money to do it that way. He's looking at something on the lower range, and he said this he got from the city of Norwich, about 82 to 158. He says he doesn't think it's guaranteed against cracks. It's just probably not going to hold up. So he's kind of high and low end on those, but since it's not going to go forward in this fiscal year, probably come up again at budget time. And then I would work with him to be, more prepared to kind of get some firmer numbers in place and have finance committee or town council make a decision on where they're going to be in that range, how much you spend, and what kind of quality are you looking for. So
that's about the basketball.
What's that?
That's about the basketball court, right?
I'm sorry, basketball. Yeah. So anyway, that can be going forward so that the SIP is approved. You've got your town council approval at the same time, you can use your LOSA money. And the last one. And Tom, I got information from you. You want to look at using your LOSA money for the radio system. And that permit still hasn't been approved. You said it's still sitting on something.
I can't speak to that now. That was 2 weeks ago. I don't know what the update is.
Yeah, commissioner's desk. Yeah. And again, we can get everything lined up, get everything in order. As soon as we get the next fiscal year, we'll just be ready to go with that from funding. So, any questions? I think this will all be covered in some great detail. We're talking about your SIP plan for the next budget year.
Are they requiring it to be in this current year's capital improvement plan? Because a lot of the stuff has been in the 5-year plan.
What's that?
A lot of the stuff has been in the 5-year plan. Does it have to be in this current year?
Yeah, it says in the current, but I can go back and look at fine print on that.
Well, because it's LOSIP money, it's not affecting the mill rate. Couldn't be added at any time during the year?
What's that?
Couldn't we add it during the year to the capital plan since it's not going to affect the mill rate?
That's a very good question. I don't know about amending your capital plan as a town council outside of your budget season. I will look into that. And Tim, good question?
This is the last town council meeting. I think official town council meeting we're having is we have a special meeting. So you may want to have a lot of these things lined up for the new, if there's a new council, because there's a lot of things on your list. And then you just may want to come prepared to give some training.
And I
I thought about that too, and I even almost thought about, well, maybe this should wait, but I really wanted to let all of you know where it stood, and I will be prepared to keep real good notes, answers to questions. I'll look into what you just asked and dig into this a little bit more. But that's where kind of it stands right now, most of it's still. So that's about all I had to cover tonight. Is there any questions?
Comments?
As you say, if you do amend the capital plan, it does need to go to planning and zoning.
Noted.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Any other department heads? Lieutenant? No? All right. This time I'm going to divert back to presentations and ask Tyler Lawton to come up.
Just so everyone's aware, Mr. Lawton is here to give a progress report on the walking trails behind the PD, and I believe this is the conclusion report that which you're about to give. And I forwarded the reports from zoning to everybody so they were updated on what they had already discussed.
Awesome, thank you. So I should be pretty brief tonight, but I have some pictures for everybody to reference as I'm explaining it.
I've seen the pictures.
All right.
That's all
right.
Thanks, Ted.
All right. So the first picture above the blur there is of the rock squeeze. That's one of my favorite parts of the trail. As you are walking through the farthest part from the road, you have to kind of navigate through some rocks. It's not narrow at all. I mean, it's narrow, but it's not too narrow. I think it's pretty. You don't see that too often. Camp Oakdale doesn't have anything like that. None of the trails in the area. So it's just something pretty cool that I've enjoyed. The second issue, top right, is of the overlook of Park Cove. That's the upper part of the cove. A little bit below where the Stony Brook goes into this. That's from a block of ledge that sticks out of the ground. Very nice view. I'm going to be putting a bench there, as well as the two other locations. Those benches have not come in yet. I don't want to delay the opening of the trail in waiting for benches that will take another just about a month. They will be changed trees, so there's no more digging or anything involved, really. And the spaces are already cleared out, so all the work that's done is just carrying those benches and changing them up. The next picture, in the middle on the right, that is of the longest bridge on the trail. It's 16 feet long, has railings on either side. It crosses a very low gully with a very large amount of water that goes through. It's up off the ground, not too high to be dangerous, though, but as I said, there are railings there anyway. And like I said, it's the longest bridge, the most obvious feature of the trail that I put in there. Directly below that, on the bottom right corner, is one of the other bridges that is 12 feet long and also has railings. The area under it is not very deep, but there is even more water constantly flowing through there, rather than just being a muddy area. And in the middle on the bottom is the bottom bridge, the stepping stones that were put in there. Those stepping stones weigh about 100 pounds each. Your sister Renell helped with his truck back them up close to the place, and you just throw them down a hill very easy that way until we get to carry them over to where we have to put that. It's still very heavy. And then the bridge itself stands somewhere around 30 feet across the very muddy area. That'd be very unsafe to walk through. Now those bridges are there, they'll have very easy transportation and walking across. I've seen animal footprints there too, so it's not just humans that this can be used. So it's another neat point of the trail. And now the last picture is of the kiosk that is from, I got that in Montpelier, Vermont, a 6-hour drive up there. And it is, I'm very happy with the way it came out, but it's a kit. So the two posts are two separate things. The roof and all the wood that goes along with that is its own piece, and the back door where the sign is now located, that's one. So we split it together, put some things in. Since it had already been assembled and lubricated and very easy, very quick job. We did have a couple of kind of drilling out holes to put the post in. That way we wouldn't have to take them by hand because obviously the neck is very rocky, so we did not want to have to do that. And the signs that are up there now, there's a big map on the bottom. It's just, like I said, it's just a map of the trail with a background of from the GIS, actually. The top left is the rules. Pretty much the same rules that we find at Camp Oakdale. No bikes, no motorized vehicles, no horses, no littering, no smoking, no alcohol. And motions that come over and take me on top of the head. It's obviously their view to look at if you're interested. And in the top right of that box is for illicit donors. Part of my fundraising campaign was, it was mostly targeted at businesses, but a lot of people also helped in this way. But if someone donated over $100, they would get the name up on the sign as advertising. And that's for the picture, that's it. But I wanted to give one more report to you guys, because this is the same council that approved it, and it's going to be changing in a few weeks. So I wanted to look at that and let you guys know that I'm all but done, except for those benches. And I'm very happy with the way it came out, and I submitted that paperwork to People's Seattle a few stuff actually yesterday. So hopefully it worked out on that in a few weeks. And yeah, I hope this trail will be enjoyed by many for many years. The stuff that I put in the wood, that'll be there for decades. It's all fresh treated and very sturdy. I hope you guys will all get a chance to get down there and enjoy it. I'm very happy. So unless there's any questions, that's all I have.
I just want to point out that it's a 3/4 mile hike, and I've walked it myself. It's been an outstanding effort by Mr. Lawton. He overcame monetary issues, environmental concerns, town permits, safety issues, manpower needs, and time. He worked on it over the summer. My hat goes off to him. He really kept at it, and where a lot of people would have just said, you know, this is too big of a job, but I encourage everybody to take a walk down through there and see what he's done. It's really a great job and good for the town, you know, because there's a lot of history down through that area for the Cove. I don't know if everybody knows it or not, but that entire area was the military colonial drill grounds for the colonial army back in the day, where they did all their drills. There's the Hazel factory that used to be down there. There's the ice house that was there. There's an awful lot that went on in this little cove. And now to walk down through these rocks is it's very impressive. And I want to thank you for the work you've done.
Yeah, fantastic job. I mean, this is probably the most extensive Eagle Scout project I've seen in the past 10 or 15 years. And from the day you came in here pitching the project, you're very articulate and did a great job. So congratulations. I'm sure you'll have no problem getting your Eagle Scout.
Thank you.
I just want to say, my son was in Scouts and he did an Eagle Project, and I always said, this is a very large Eagle Project, so good job. And I'm just a little bit impressed. Getting all those permits and stuff to the town is a pain, I know. But when I heard about it, I was like, then you had to get a parking area, then all that approved. So good job. So you kind of learned how tough the bureaucracy is sometimes, but you did a really good job. What is the name of the trail or the park? Is it named?
I just left the simple Horton Cove Trail.
Okay.
Pretty easy to find now that you know.
Maybe we should name it the Lawton Trail.
I'll second that.
Serious.
Yeah. I appreciate that. The paperwork I said is the Eagle Scouts. It's in Horton Cove, so I can't change it. Say, but I mean, people can refer to what they want to refer to it.
But the trail's not named. We could name the trail, right?
That's true. That's true. You have a point.
Excellent job. Excellent, and thank you. You really did an awesome job. And you're well-spoken. I told your father that before. You amazed me on some of the things you've done. So thank you very much for doing this for the town.
Tyler, when you leave Montville and go do amazing big things,
yeah.
A huge piece of you is here forever, and I appreciate that very much.
I will say you are an impressive young man. And your family and your troop and your town should be very, very proud of you. Thank you.
I can't say enough about you. I mean, I'm flabbergasted about the pictures and the progress and whatever. And I remember you coming here and asking for the money. And you have grown both physically and mentally. I wish I could have you as a son.
Anyone else have
any comments? Yeah, I'd just like to say, you know, it's been a pleasure following you all the way through this project, and I was very happy to sign off on the final paperwork the other day. And I get to drive by there a lot, and there are cars parked out there. People are already using it.
I've seen a few people walking out there myself.
So,
Facebook posts.
And we've had calls to my office. When's it going to be ready? When's it going to be open? And,
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, moving on. Reports from standing committees. TARP.
We had no meeting.
Excellent. Finance, we have nothing on the agenda. Public Works, the bathroom project came back for the bids, which were way more than projected, so we're going to work on that.
Which one was that?
Bathrooms to Fair Oaks, almost double what we projected.
I mean, it's not in LOSIP, is it?
No. Yeah, right. It wasn't an 824 review either. Moxie Road is finished today, and it looks awesome. Dido and the other road are getting done next week. And that's about it. On. Let's see, reports on special committees. Councilor Bunnell, Library and Parks and Rec.
Library Committee and Volunteer Firefighters Relief did not meet. The Parks and Rec met on the September 20th. It was an informational meeting as there was no quorum. However, there was some, the director, the Parks and Rec director reported on his meet with the Public Works director on the projects of the playground, the football area, and the courts on Simpson Lane. One of the things that came up on that was the discussed the installation of multiple cameras on a pole with a direct feed to the police department, and a proposal was pending on that. The large pavilion, they discussed it, and there was supposed to be three bids going out for it, for different parts of it, from the columns to the roofing, but I guess that's all going to change now. Basketball courts, also, that was discussed, and it was going to try to get the cost reduced from $350,000 to $300,000, and I guess that's going to be delayed a little bit more. The tennis and pickleball courts, very active, but we're all seeing it. There's a new sign up there for rules of the courts and on both sides of the court. This Jardins Park, another problem area where they presented three of the four designs for the park, and one was going to be chosen and pending feedback from the commission. The new community center update, they reported they're going to send ask the CLA engineers for a preliminary site plan. There's going to be two options that they're going to consider and bring back to the town council, one with the pool and one without a pool. Trick or Trunk is, let's see, next week, we got 21st, right?
No. It's 28th.
28th, yeah, 28th, okay. They're going to have three food trucks. They got 40 to 45 trunks and maybe 2,000 participants. The playground, they're going to have a celebration probably in the spring, and they're waiting for the communication boards to be installed. Discussion on the Oakdale, Camp Oakdale Fitness Trail. Trail is located on this behind this, the softball field and down towards the tennis courts. The Raymond Library is having an open house on... and a celebration of National Friends of Libraries Week on the 28th, I think it is. And the letter inviting the commission was read. Oh, I'm sorry, October 19th from 6 to 8. And anybody interested in getting an update on what the library does and what it offers, a good idea to attend. And that's it.
Thank you. Councilor Karen, Commission on Aging, Social Service and Nonprofits.
Well, the busy seasons are picking up. The holiday seasons are coming along. Social service, I went down to the building the other day, or the social service building that we're redoing with not LOSIP money. We'll be doing it with ARPA money. The remodeling is coming along great. Carpets are done. The windows are all in. The exterior painting is done. The bathrooms are like almost 90% done. They're putting blinds up. So it's coming along good. Just so the council knows and everyone else knows, that, you know, I've been pushing it along. I think John's sick and tired of hearing from me on it, but it's getting close. It's very, very close. Long overdue. So Commission on Aging, we did meet. We talked more about more programs, how much the enrollment in the senior center has gone up. We're up to, like, 2,100 now. The letter I sent to the tribe requesting some assistance with Thanksgiving with the turkeys was approved. They're going to send us 300 turkeys this year. So and that seems like a lot, but it isn't a lot. That goes very quickly.
in about, especially these holiday seasons. I know I talk about it every year and push it along of how much we need help and how much we need funding or we need the food, but it goes along, not just in holiday seasons, it's all year long that we do need it. The programs at the Senior Center are they're full. What can I say? They're all excited about the new computers that are coming, the new printers that are coming. Did meet down there and discuss all that. We did talk about some more additional like trips that we were going to have down there for our seniors to get them out of the center sometimes and out into other parts of the state and other parts of, to get just get them out there. But if that's going along, awesome. And that's about it.
Very good. Council Mann, our WPCA and ad hoc committee.
The COVID-19 ad hoc meeting didn't take place because of lack of a quorum. So there's nothing new to report on that. And the Water Pollution Control Authority, we are approved a study to look at a conversion for a clarifier tank to a, how do you say it?
Anaerobic
producing fuel to further reduce cost at that. And that's about it.
Very good. Council May, Conservation Commission.
Yeah, we had a nice productive meeting, last meeting, and we also attended the library's community fair, and that was very well attended. I think that was two Saturdays ago. And we just found out we got a donation from the Lions Club, a park bench. And it's kind of neat, though. I guess they collect plastic from the library, plastic bags, and they make it, they give it to some company, and the Lions Club gets it made into a bench. So that was donated. There's one at the library now, and there's going to be one at the Conservation Center as soon as we get it put in. That's it.
Council BOE, P&Z, and Farmers Market.
Considering the agenda, I have only to report the Farmers Market has a holiday market on November 11th at Tile from 10 to 2.
Excellent. Thank you. Council Yuknik, EDC, Public Safety, and Youth Services.
Nothing to report from EDC. Youth Services had no quorum, so we didn't have a meeting. And the Public Safety Commission also didn't have a quorum. However, I was able to get information from Lieutenant Radford. The police department last month handled 945 calls for service and issued 113 citations. I am still unable to report accurate numbers on the fire calls in town because of the way the fire chiefs report their numbers now. Some of them are duplicating calls if more than one firehouse responds. So the Public Safety Commission is trying to figure out how to streamline that so I can report accurate numbers to the town council. That's all I have.
Very good. Item 14, appointments of resignations. To consider act on a motion to appoint Joseph Summers to fill the vacancy on Planning and Zoning Commission with a term to expire November 12, 2023.
So moved.
Second. Motion made and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item B, to consider an act on a motion to reappoint John Badurka to the Building Code of Appeals with a term to expire November 11, 2028.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item C, to consider an act on a motion to reappoint Gary Allen to the Uncas Health District with a term to expire November 14th, 2026.
So moved.
Motion made and second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item D, to consider an act on a motion to reappoint Karen Perkins to the Commission on Aging with a term to expire November 20th, 2026.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 15, unfinished business, there is none. Item 16, new business. Town of Montville hereby resolves to refund taxes due to overpayments and corrections in the amount of $8,570.55 as requested by the tax collector.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and second. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Council Bonnell.
Favor.
Council Parent.
Favor.
Council Manzer.
Favor.
Council May.
Favor.
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 Favor. 7-0, motion passed. Item B, Town of Montville hereby resolves to approve the use of $400,000 of the state LOSUP Local Capital Improvement Fund for the Camp Oakdale Storage Building.
So moved.
Second.
Made and second. Any discussion?
Does this need to be sent to planning?
This is the only one that's actually, well, yeah.
That one,
yeah,
this one's fine.
It still will need an 824 view, but.
Okay.
Yeah. Is this the storage building that's next to the football?
Yes. No,
I think
well, this one's going to... building that's going to go between the two fields to be...
Oh, it's not the one that's there now?
No, it's going to go... You come in, you get
new
soccer
one.
Fields.
Yeah.
You get their little utility shed. Stray back.
Okay. It's a new building.
Okay. All right.
I think it's going to house their equipment, power equipment.
Yeah. They've outgrown the
truck don't
building
fit
there.
In that little garage anymore, so that's rotten out, so that's coming down. So. Yeah. Any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Favor.
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 Favor, 7-0 motion pass. Item C, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to authorize Mayor Ron McDaniel to enter into a 99-year lease agreement for 14 Bridge Street.
So moved.
Second.
Chairman,
yep.
I think you got...
We amended that at the beginning.
You're right. Yep.
So it's just 14.
Yep. So 8 and 22 are actually being sold to him, which we've already approved. And then 14 is the 99-year lease agreement. And since we have a motion second, we can discuss it. Basically, the problem with this property is that it was a, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Mayor, it was a brownfield site. We did a bunch of remediation. And as a town, we're at, I don't know how to describe it, we'll say we're at a level C remediation, and we're good to go, everything's okay. But if we sell it, then the next person's responsible for anything else and has to bring it up to another level. And it could be a huge, extensive, nonstop chasing this problem for the next 20 years. So the best interest is for the town and the buyer is basically for them to lease it from us. That way we don't have to do any more remediation. Did I explain that?
Okay. You summed it up pretty well. Right. I may just wonder, I don't know if the lease is ready, but if it's not being able to get that lease ready within the next 30 days to amend this to, say, you know, Mayor Ron McDaniel or his successor, just to cover ourselves so you don't have to go through this motion
yep.
again.
There is a second or a motion?
Motion to amend to say current mayor.
Or his successor.
Successor.
Well, it would be current at whatever time, right? Current mayor or successor to enter into a lease agreement for 99 mm-hmm. years for 14 Bridge Street.
All right. Second. We have motion second. Voice on the amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Any other discussion on the full motion? None. All right. Roll call vote.
Favor.
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 Favor. 7-0. Motion passed. Item D. The Town of Montville hereby resolves to approve and adopt the bond resolution entitled Resolution authorizing an appropriation of $15,500,000 for the Montville Schools air conditioning project and the financing of said appropriation by insurance of a general obligation bond of the Town of Montville in notes in the anticipation of such bonds in the amount not to exceed $15 million or $6 million. Therefore, a copy of which this resolution is attached here in Schedule A and to waive the reading of the entire resolution to incorporate the full text into the minutes of the meeting, the Town Council will decide at this meeting whether or not to authorize bonds in the amount of $15,500,000 or $6
million. So moved.
Second.
All right. Well, before we make it, which is it?
15 million. 15. So moved for 15 million.
15 and 5?
15 and 5.
We should explain
15 5.
Why.
Yep. So, yep. So, to be clear on this, the school board has voted to try, the school board did a study that we funded for air conditioning the schools, came back that they looks like it's going to be about $15 million to put them in. And then there's a state grant, but it ends December 31st, so we're trying to fast track this. There's a very good chance of getting the grant. And the grant would cover all but $6 million of it. So, but if we don't approve, if we only approve the $6 million and not the full $15 million, then there's a chance that it might never happen if the state grant didn't come through. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we're the risk is that the state may give us a grant, and there's a time limit on this to get it in. So that's the risk. That's why we're going for the $15 million. We're taking that to make sure.
Correct. And the other part of it is we only did the $6 million. There's a good chance that next year there's a proposal right now that there's air quality, which there's humidity, temperature, and all that. So we could be on the hook anyhow.
Yeah, it could be mandated.
So, and then we'd be on the hook anyhow for the full amount. So
can I make one more? So say we get the grant, mm-hmm. and our obligation is only $6 million, then
only.
The grant. But
only?
Well, only $6 million. But the balance of that, the $9 million that's remaining, that has to go. That we just don't use it.
We don't borrow it.
We're not gonna go do something else with it. We're just gonna. It just. We don't use it. We don't spend it. Nothing. Right.
Correct.
All right. Just want to be clear that we're not. Yep. No one has eyes for this.
Nope. It can only be used for this. And if we get the grant, then.
And this is just for to adopt the bond resolution.
This is just to approve it to go to referendum.
And there's a couple more after this for set dates and all that.
Right. Is that fact going to be put on the referendum so the citizens voting on it know that nobody's going to sneak off with $9 million and do something silly with it?
Yeah, put it on there.
There's explanatory text that's legal requirements. Mm-hmm. It'll basically spell out what's happening. I don't know exactly how detailed that'll be because bond council does that. There's a lot of legalities to it. But it basically will say that we're borrowing X number of dollars for this project, blah, blah, blah. So.
Well, will the vote thing have... Wow.
It won't have a full explanation. It'll have just the gist of what we're doing. It'll see what they're spending it on. If you need, would have to give out some information to fully explain what we're doing.
So the people who vote won't know that we're trying to get a grant to cover most of it?
I mean, it won't be on the referendum question. The referendum question is very direct. Boom, that's it. So, I mean.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
I had a question. What if there's a cost overrun?
There is factored in for contingency.
All right. So I just asking. This includes all potential cost overruns. That's what we do.
There's contingency included, but with the way things are, if we went out to bid and it came out at $20 million, then you couldn't do it because the bond's only good for $15 million.
I just see bad things happening.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Favor.
Councilor
Favor.
Councilor
Favor.
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 Favor. Motion passed.
You guys can breathe now.
Item C, the Town of Moffett hereby resolves to approve and adopt the referendum resolution and resolution establishing a date for the referendum of December 12th, 2023. In the preparation of the explanatory text, the resolution authorizing an appropriation of $15,500,000 for the Montville Schools air conditioning project and the financing of said appropriations by the insurance of general obligation bonds of the Town of Montville and notes in anticipation of such bonds in the amount not to exceed $15,500,000. I think we take the 6 million out. Therefore, as copy of which resolution is attached here onto Exhibit B, and to waive the reading of the entire resolution and to incorporate its full text in the minutes of the meeting, Town Council will decide at this meeting to authorize a bond amount of $15,500,000.
So moved.
Moved.
Second.
Second. Meeting second. Any discussion?
Yeah. So we're setting a date for the 12th of December.
Yep.
And it sounds like we have an election November 7th, and that is the earliest conceivable date we can have that.
Registered voters gave only two dates that could happen, December 5th or the 12th, and then the 5th, the town clerk is not here, so that was not an option. So this is our very only date that is available.
And unless it goes into next year.
It can't because the grants expire December 31st.
Holy shit. I just stopped myself.
Any other questions, comments, suggestions? Nothing? Roll call vote.
Favor.
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 Favor. 7-0. Motion passed. Item F. The Town of Montville hereby resolves to authorize Leonard J. Tiles HVAC project at a total cost of $6 million and to approve the local funding of $5,374,060 for the HVAC project based upon the town's November 8, 2022 referendum and the issuance of the bonds, which include the following replacement for Leonard J. Tile rooftop ventilation and boilers.
So moved.
Motion made. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Sounds a little redundant.
We have like two or three more to go. This is all verbiage that the state of Connecticut is requiring from the board.
Oh, I see.
This has already been approved. This is probably the $8 million thing. Mm-hmm. There's like three steps here that they have to follow in order to get the money.
Mm-hmm.
The state does not make it easy. Any other discussion? Hearing none. Roll call vote.
Favor.
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 Favor. 7-0. Motion passed. Item G. The Town of Montville hereby resolves to authorize the Montville School Superintendent to apply to the Commissioner of Administrative Services and to accept or reject the HVAC Indoor Air Quality Grant at the Leonard J. Tile School for the HVAC project, which includes replacement of the ventilation system, air handling conditions to un-air-conditioned spaces, replacement of boilers, and related work.
Second.
Motion made and second. Any discussion?
Congratulations.
Roll call vote.
Favor.
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 Favor. 7-0, motion passed. Item H, more of the same. The Town of Montville hereby resolves to establish the Leonard J. Town School HVAC Project Building Committee, comprised of the Board of Education and the Superintendent, as the Building Committee for the HVAC Indoor Air Quality Grant for the Leonard J. Town School HVAC Project.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Councilman
Mill? Favor.
Councilman
Favor.
Councilman
Favor.
Favor.
Councilman Favor.
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 Favor. 7-0, motion passed. Item I, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to authorize the lease the preparation of the schematic drawings and outline specifications necessary for the HVAC Indoor Quality Air Grant application for the Leonard J. Tyler Middle School HVAC project.
So moved.
Motion made and second. Any more discussion? Hearing none. Roll call vote.
Councilman
Favor.
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 Favor. Favor. 7-0. Item J, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to authorize Mayor Ron McDaniel to execute the agreement between the Town of Montville, East Lyme, Waterford, and the Town of Montville concerning becoming a member of the START, which is the Shoreline Traffic Accident Reconstruction Team.
So moved.
Okay.
Second, any discussion?
Yeah, could we, is this agreement going to happen between now and November 7th?
Yes.
Okay. Never mind.
This one's pretty straightforward. It's already written up. All I have to do is add a signature line to it, and it's ready to go.
Just curious.
I'm very happy to see this initiated and implemented. It's beneficial to all three towns, and I'm sure that the three of them are going to work well together, and I just can't wait to get it going. Hope we don't have any, but it's going to happen.
Are these are obviously traffic or full...
It's a crash investigation team. They go out and do all the markings, and they got all the school tools and all laser beams and stuff.
And I probably had the authority to do this without council approval, but because they are going to have the ability to go out and secure grants, and there's going to be... One of the towns is going to be designated as a fiduciary for the funding for this, I think it's clear that we just do it as getting it approved by the full body.
I agree. It's a win-win. Any other discussion? Comments? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Favor.
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 Favor. 7-0, motion passed. Moving along. Item 17, remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit.
Remarks from the public.
3 minutes to 1 minute.
Speak loud. 2 minutes.
Can you eat half?
30 seconds.
Microphone on. Will Spike, Montville Board of Ed Chairman. Thank you very much for addressing the issue tonight in front of you, the HVAC grant. We received a report on the 12th of September. Chukunsky and the architect firm involved. A thorough review of the schools. We thought this was a good expenditure of ARPA funds. I want to thank you for that also on behalf of the school district and Board of Education also. It is timely, and we understand it's a tight schedule. Council McNally made an interesting point. This might become a mandate in the future. I think we probably will see that, but there's no official word to that. But I will tell you that students and administrators will definitely appreciate it if this project gets done, and that will cool off the schools. So thank you very much again.
Your E24 reviewing.
Yeah, right?
Anyone else from the public wishing to speak?
Don't let it happen.
At the risk of being redundant, I do just want to, it's a lot of money, and I do also want to thank you very much. I did not ask my administrative team to be here. The fact that you're all here does indicate the importance to them of getting this project done. I really do appreciate the support.
Great, thank you.
She has other views.
I just want to speak real quick. We've already used that START program already in the one thing we have had in town. It's very helpful. I appreciate you pushing that through. And I also want to make mention before this council, I'd be shaping up next month, but just to follow through with the completion, like the mayor said, of our final hire. That will complete with the full staff, which will in turn, shortly after we complete this training, will allow us to put the third SRO in the school.
That's awesome.
Good job. Anyone else from the public wishing to speak? Anyone else from the public wishing to speak? Last call for the public. Hearing none, remarks from the mayor and the councilors with a 30-minute limit.
30 or 3?
30 second limit.
Thanks. I think we were chatting before everybody kind of filtered in that I think this completes my 353rd meeting of the town council in my tenure as mayor. I want to thank you all.
Right?
Yeah, but who's counting? I've been counting days too. I appreciate all the support that the town has given me, and I'm not leaving this town, but you know, you all do a lot of hard work, and people don't really appreciate that many meetings that you all go to, and how many, you know, subcommittee meetings and committee meetings and all the other work that gets done behind the scenes. We don't agree all the time. It's okay. We fight. It's okay. But at the end of the day, we've all had the best interests of this town at heart, and I appreciate the fact that you've all worked very, very hard with me to make this town a better place. So thank you for all your help and support, and look forward to working in the future with whoever, you know, prevails on November 7th.
Thank you. Councilor Bunnell.
Well, considering this could be my last council meeting, I just want to thank everybody for the last 2 years. We've had some disagreements, and we've had some agreements. And it's been rewarding, and I think the town is the one that reaped the benefit of our ability to get along. Thank you.
Mr. Carroll?
Oh, it's my turn. So I want to wish everybody good luck, and, you know, Mayor, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure serving with you. This is my 16th year, not counting 5 years on the WPCA. But it's a, you know, it's a... sometimes it can be a thankless job, but it's very rewarding, I believe. And there is one counselor that is not going to be running, and it's been a pleasure to serve with you, Colleen. You speak your mind, not for the party or anything like that, because you love your community, and it shows. And all the years that I've served with you, I admire you. I admire you because, you know, excuse my language, you can piss some people off in your own party, but, you know, your votes, but you do it because you care. And that's what we're here for. We're not here embodied to be towards certain parties or beholden to these parties or which ones we run with. And you really have shown me, who's someone who's out in the community a lot, that you don't have to. You can do it just for the community. And I'll miss you. I definitely will.
Too.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to say one other thing, if you don't mind me breaking a rule here. I've worked for the mayor. I've worked with the mayor. He is the one that has the town's best interests at heart, and it's been a pleasurable experience. I want to thank you for all the attention you've given my baloney and the good times and the bad times. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. May.
Yeah, I just want to say, Mayor McDaniel, you've done an excellent job. My 10 years on the town council, you've been there, I think, 1 year Joe Jaskowitz was the mayor. But I'll say that you've done an incredible amount of work that you don't really get a lot of credit for. The Solarize Mottville, all the different things in town, all the grants that you've gotten. And, you know, like you said, I think you made every one of those meetings. I don't think I ever recall you missing, unless you were deathly ill, a meeting. So I just want to say thank you for your hard work and your dedication and your love for the town. So, and I too want to say, Colleen, I've served, I think, all my 10 years on the council with you, and you've done an excellent job, and you're a good friend, and you'll be missed. So I hope you come back to the dais again, because I think, you know, the town of Mottville needs you.
She's
and,
on the way.
And, you know, you have a year. And the rest of you guys, I'm pretty sure we'll be sitting here again, I think, if everything goes well. But if we don't, and good luck on the election, we'll see you after November 7th.
There you go. I'd just like to thank everybody on the council. As the mayor said, there's a lot of meetings, a lot of work involved. But this has definitely been my most enjoyable term on the council out of 3 terms, two as chairman. I think everybody got along really well. We got a ton of stuff accomplished. You know, it's not as contentious as it has been in the past. And I wish everybody well, whatever happens to the election. If I'm back here, I will be back to work. And if not, I'll be riding off to the sunset and enjoying some cruising.
No, you're not.
Yeah, off to the sunset. I did write, like, a little bit of notes, but they don't want me to read them. So 8 years ago, I was elected to my first term of Board of Education of a 4-year term. And now I'm completing
my second term on council. Both of those terms have been with Councilor Karen and Councilor May, also Joe Jaskiewicz. So I want to thank you guys for your mentorship, my fellow councilors now. Kathy Pollard, Joe Rogalski, the mayor. I couldn't have done it without the support of everyone up here and in the past. But most importantly, the citizens of Montville, for believing in me, for speaking to me. I wanted to be the mouthpiece for them, and I hope I accomplished that. And just thank you to my family for dealing with me being gone for hours at a time. That's it.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Uvnik.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This was my first term on the council. I learned a lot. It's a very eye-opening experience. I wish more people in the public would get involved in local politics, but 99% of the people that I bring that up to look at me like I have two heads and run out the door. Good luck to everyone who's running. For those who aren't, Mr. Mayor, Councilor Ricks, thank you for your service to the town. That's all I have.
Mr. Mayor.
My first term on the council as well. I've had a lot of interaction with every single councilor here, Board of Ed, everybody, and it's been a heck of a ride because it's a learning experience beyond a learning experience. I got the insights of town government. Like the mayor said, we agree, we disagree, it's all fine. We sit down, we talk. At the end of the meetings or whatever, we're still friends, and I've made so many friends throughout this community, the counselors, everybody, every single department I've met, at least one or two people in every single department in this building, and professionalism is bar none. I don't know what else to say. I had something written, too, but they won't let me write it either. But, Mr. Mayor, good luck on your retirement. Colleen, thank you for working with us. I learned a lot from you. Learned a lot from you, Mr. Mayor. And good luck on election day for everybody.
Thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. We're adjourned.
Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you.
My precious. I don't know what this says. I don't know what those little words say. You don't care. Just gave you like $21 million. And I'll get to see what those little words say.
Thank you. Confidential.